Okay, it's running. I'd like to call the June 19th, 2014 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education to order. Could we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke
is absent.
Mr. Pleasant?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith absent. Ms. Devine?
Here. All right, we need a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of ORC 121.22G number 1.
So moved.
Oh, second. Okay, motion by Mrs. Powers, second by Mr. Pleasant. And Mr. Luke did just show up. Hello, Brian. We're ready to vote on going into executive session. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Okay, we are in executive session at 6:32. All right. Get back to my board docs. All right, welcome everyone. We have already called our meeting to order. So at this time, we are at item number 3, which is our Pledge of Allegiance. So let's see, do we have a flag in here?
The left.
Oh, there it is. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Welcome, everybody. And before we get started, I would like to thank Mr. Cook for hosting us here at the high school. We appreciate it. It's a nice setup. Now we can move on to adoption of agenda. So I need a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant and second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call, please.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion passes. And now, for our presentations, Marysville High School is going to do a presentation, and just need to alert you that we are including section item 6.6, which is the Drug and Safety Committee report that's going to be included with the high school presentation. So, Diane, did you have anything that you wanted to say before Aaron gets up?
Nope, or
okay,
ready
well
for
then,
ready for
we're
Aaron.
Ready for you.
Good evening, everybody, and thanks for having us here tonight. I'm going to see if this can serve as my clicker to click through slides so nobody has to stand for that. First off, I just want to, it was a great year at Marysville High School. I really enjoyed my first year working with a great student body and a fine faculty and staff. And I think we've accomplished a lot in a short amount of time, and I'm really looking at ahead and forward to the future. So to kind of start with, maybe it's not going to work for me. I love technology most of the time. So graduation, I think as any school district and certainly any high school and community takes a lot of pride in graduation night. And I think we had A, beautiful weather, and B, a fabulous night. We had 369 graduates, 10 valedictorians, 215 students with 3.0 or higher out of that 369, and just a lot of great firsts. Highest scholarship total for accumulation of 4 years of over $3.8 million in scholarship dollars, and a lot of those dollars were also local dollars from the Community Trust. Thank you, Mrs. Devine. And we also made some subtle changes to graduation as well. For the first time, at least in the recent past, kids walked across the state and actually got a diploma. They didn't have to go come back up to high school at the end of graduation ceremonies and wait in line and pick up their diploma. Instead of organizing students alphabetically, we organized by diploma presenter. So instead of diploma presenters kind of coming up in circles, and sometimes that creates some smoothness and timing issues. If I was presenting a diploma, I'd be up there for the 1, 2, or 5 diplomas I was presenting. So it was just a really great night. I'll let Mr. Blind, our athletic director, highlight a few athletic items.
We had a very fine sports season all through the year. Just to give you some highlights,
During the fall, football made the playoffs for the first time. Morgan's 7 year head coach. Girls soccer won their first district title. Very excited for them. And girls tennis had its first winning season ever, posting a record 18-4. We're very excited about that. Winter sports, boys and girls both had winning records, and the boys team advanced to the district tournament. Wrestling had two state champions, Austin Farr and Hayden Lake, and placed third in the state, their highest place ever. In the dual competition, they advanced to the state. It's a little different in the duels. You have eight teams from the different districts advance. We had a tough draw. We had the seventh seed. We played the second seed for the second year in a row. Got beat. We're definitely making progress there. Swimming set several school records, and we have a lot of positive feedback from the swimming parents about the new coach and the new system we have with the YMCA. In gymnastics, first year back, number 20 years, Selena Sorensen advanced to the state in four exercises. She just missed an all-state performance by placing 10. Just a couple hundredths of a point, she's been moving. Spring sports, softball won the OCC for the second year in a row, an outstanding year. And both softball and baseball advanced to the district tournament before getting upset in December. So we're very happy with that. Boys and girls across, they struggled a little bit here in their first year as OCC competition, but they're optimistic for future success. And they're working to build that middle school new program to help their high school program. All right, and just a few extras. I spoke to the engineer today down in Dublin. He has sent plans, I guess, to Mike and the school board installer. So we're hopeful to have the football school board up here within the next months. Thankfully, we have that done. Boys and girls golf, they technically no longer have a home course. They travel to several different courses. It's worked very well for the girls these last couple of years. The boys are going to try it now, too. Coaches both feel that it helps prepare them for not only OCC tournaments, but also the OHSA tournaments. The Monarch Athletic Association, this is a big year. We had a lot of turnover in the Monarch Athletic Association. I would give a lot of thanks and shout out to Cal Adams and Tim Merrick for their leadership. A year ago, at this time, AMA was $25,000 in the red at deficit, and as of today, they're $25,000 in the black. So it's a huge turnaround in 1 year. We're also working together building a new membership levels to increase not only revenue but also participation. We're very excited about that, and the leadership they're giving has just been outstanding. Facilities, we just heard today that the track is going to have a great renovation, help us move forward in that respect. We've had some trouble in the track, but I think we're making great strides to improve there. We're very excited about that. If you've been in the gym over the last year, we added championship signs both for the conference and the district. Had a lot of great feedback from some of our older residents to come back and see their signs on the wall. They've been very excited about that. Thanks to the Diamond Club, made outstanding improvements this year at the baseball facility. Really stepped up. And we're also talking both softball and Diamond Club, talking about getting a fence to not only improve security, also improve it so we can host district level competition, just like we do for boys basketball. We can't really host anything if we don't have a fence up. We can charge, we get a fence, we can charge, and we get a fence. But there's really not much here on the north end other than the double, so we'd really, really like to do that. Finally, our student athlete, or our student parent athlete handbook has not been updated in several years, and we're looking over this next school year to completely, I would say rewrite, but really update it. Go through every nook and cranny to make sure it's up to date on our policies and what it says, what we want it to say. Just over the next month, we plan to tweak it a little bit to look at the drug and alcohol violation policy in order to give the administration a little bit greater enforcement powers. There's some verbiage that needs change, and we're going to work on that. Hopefully, I have that for next month.
That's athletics.
I think moving on, we are going to safety and security. Scott Stackhouse, one of the associate principals, really runs point on a lot of these initiatives, so I'm going to let him discuss what we do to keep our campus safe.
Yeah, with safety and security, really, we look at a lot of different things, and we use a lot of different people within our community. These are just a few examples. Seatbelt check, we were in collaboration with Highway Patrol, Union County Sheriff's Office, had a police officer from Ridgewood Police Department, I believe, that was here, and Marysville Police Department, and it was a very simple check as people came in to make sure students, really anybody within the car, students or parents, were wearing seatbelts. If they were, they received a little card that would get them like a slushy or some Smarties or something along those lines. We also collected data with that, and we found out that I believe it was 93% of students or adults were wearing seatbelts in the vehicle. So that was one example of some safety and security measures that we do. We had Don Tiberi come in and share his message. What a powerful message that was. We continue to bring drug dogs in, search the building. Hours training, this is something that if this was a district initiative, every building, every administrator, every teacher, and every student went through some form of hours training. NIMS training is up and coming. We are starting with a group of administrators to be NIMS trained.
What is NIMS training?
National Incident Management System. So ultimately what this is in the event of some sort of catastrophic event, there will be a master plan. As simple as using common language so that we know how to communicate with EMA and we know how to communicate with Sheriff's Department or local law enforcement, that sort of thing. So as far as I'm aware, we've never been trained here at Marysville. With NIMS training, but this is something that, again, it's a multi-organizations that are getting together to make sure in the event of an emergency, we are prepared. So, these are some, every day we're looking at safety. We want to make sure that our staff and students are safe in this building. And it's not just whether it's the cameras or the doors that are locked, you know, that sort of thing. It's also making sure kids are safe and making good decisions, whether that be seatbelts or not texting while driving. We really want to educate the kids about a lot of safe decisions.
Speaking along the lines of kind of making good choices, Sean Williams, our other associate at the high school, is going to talk a little bit about an initiative at Work Park.
Over the winter, Ms. Mankins asked them to go to the Start Talking kickoff, and that was down at Upper Arlington High School. Mrs. Powers went with us, and Mr. Robertson, myself, and Mr. Stackhouse, and it was a very moving presentation. They had three recovering addicts that were there that came from varying degrees of socioeconomic status, and the clear message was that it does not discriminate. It doesn't matter if you come from a wealthy family or a struggling family or a middle-class family. Drugs don't discriminate. And so they have kicked off this new campaign through Governor Kasich's office, and his wife is the one that is leading this, Mrs. Kasich. And I really, really like this program because it's different than anything I've ever seen before. In the past, we would have events, invite people in, and we'd get maybe 10 people. We have 1,600 kids, and we get 10 parents, and most of them were a husband and wife, so that's two of the 10 right there, and it weren't getting the message through. So the message is simple. Start talking to your kids, and what we came up with here in Marysville is let's bring the message where the people already are. If you ever have been to one of our plays or a sports banquet or a choir concert or a show choir concert, there are tons of people there. So what we have done is line up speakers to come and give a 3 to 5 minute discussion with some very clear, concise talking points at those banquets and those gatherings. Mrs. Powers has done a great job of lining people in our community up. Judge Frazier, Judge Hufinger, the sheriff, the police chief, our own Morgan Cotter has participated. And we kind of piloted it this spring with some of the spring sports banquets. Mr. Blind was very accommodating and getting us those schedules. And we really had good feedback on it so far. Our next step is to, we're in the process, we've got three of them recorded now, public service announcements that are about 15 seconds. that we're going to play at football games, volleyball games, soccer games in the fall, and then we're going to try to get another round of them to record for the winter. We're trying to adapt the message just a little bit so that they always hear start talking, but then there's a little bit of a different fact or tip, that type of thing, so that it's not repetitive and people tune it out. We want them to continue to pay attention to it. We're working on with Holly Weissick from the Drug Free Coalition and the Health Department. She's been awesome to work with. She's got a lot of great ideas, and she's really helped us get this off the ground. And Mr. Robertson's done the middle school's done the recordings. So pretty excited about this. We're also, middle school's been doing this, sending out tips once a week for parents. We're going to start doing that next year at the high school. Just little short, concise messages to parents on how to talk to their kids about drugs and alcohol, making good decisions, what you're going to do if this situation comes up. So just really get the kids talking with their parents. We're working on planning a kickoff event at the first football game to bring some awareness to the cause. So I really like this one because it's simple. It's not a huge complex thing where people have to take time out of their regularly scheduled events and come. They're already here. So this is our big thing that I missed.
No, I'd just like to say that they've already done some data on this, and it so far the data has shown that 50% of the children whose parents are talking to them about the drugs are less likely to use. So that's huge. And, it's been great. We're really having a good time with it, and things are popping. And
I feel like it's been very effective. I will say that as a parent in the district myself, it's made me think about it. I'm a teenager and on the verge of high school next year, and it makes me think about it more. So I think it is effective.
Aren't there some student ambassadors too that are part of this program? Because I remember meeting a couple of those at that one kickoff meeting, and I thought what a great idea.
Yes. For the kickoff event.
Right.
We'd like to have them like in shirts, and then say something. Are you one of those parents? And then put a question mark, and then on the back maybe do something like start talking, and let the kids be involved.
Right.
It's been a great group to work with. Very concerned group.
Thank you.
So OGT scores, the Ohio graduation test came in May. So preliminary data, the number of students passing out last year's sophomore class and our percentages. All of those are passing marks. What I will say is that they are, all with the exception of writing, all a slight dip from last year's score, anywhere from a percentage or two. In parentheses, you can kind of see the five-year average. So we have some work to do to continue to improve. Next year, this coming year, sophomore class, the class of 2017, will be the last class taking the Ohio graduation test. I'll talk more about the new graduation requirements towards the end. But we're going to continue to work on some things, and we'll talk about what that's going to be. In terms of the breakout groups, so on that report card, there's gap closing. And so our subgroups, of course, all students, which you just saw, how our white students perform, how our economically disadvantaged students perform, and how our students on IEPs perform. Certainly all those resonate with me because I'm a perfectionist to some extent, and I want to do the best possible, and we need to improve those scores, especially special ed. And this past May, sat down with Ashley Robinson-Thompson, our special ed coordinator, a couple of our department chairs in the special ed department, and really hashed out what are some things we need to do differently in terms of structure to help provide the support our students need in both an inclusion and a resource setting. By inclusion, I mean in a co-taught where we have a content specialist and an intervention specialist versus a resource room where it would just be the intervention specialist working with a smaller group of kids. And so we're going to blend those two models. So before, I might be an inclusion special ed teacher teaching. I might be co-teaching with an algebra teacher, co-teaching with a geometry teacher, and co-teaching with an English teacher. Three different preps, three different teachers. That's a challenge, I think, even to the best teacher. So we really trying to focus in on one, at the most, two content areas. But then let's say if I'm specializing in algebra as an intervention specialist, I might have two periods in resource algebra and three periods in an inclusion setting. I think that makes both better, because I'm reading some great intervention from a resource room where I have to be more of that tier two or tier three intervention, and I can bring those strategies to a co-talk classroom. But I'm also being exposed to that content from the content specialist day in and day out in their lesson planning, and I can take those ideas back into the resource classroom instead of working exclusionary. Finding common planning time for those co-teachers to actually get together and plan was a part of it as well, so I'm looking for that to help those scores, whether they're end-of-course exams or OGT scores or just overall performance in school. So speaking of next-generation assessments, this past spring, the high school did pilot next-generation assessments, which were PARC. So we piloted some math and English performance-based assessments and end-of-the-course assessments. Unfortunately, with that pilot, we don't get any feedback on how our students did in this first year. But that will continue, those end-of-course exams will continue to grow. So if you saw Governor Kasich sign House Bill 487, I believe, with new graduation requirements, every student starting with this freshman class of 2018, will have to take 7 end-of-course exams. And I've listed those up there. So algebra, geometry, English 9, English 10, government, American history, and physical science. And there are some exceptions there with dual enrollment and AP courses that can substitute. But that's one pathway. A second pathway is every junior is going to take a nationally recognized college entrance exam. It's not been determined yet if it's going to be what it's going to be, but most likely the ACT or SAT, and the state's going to pay for that. So if I pass 5 of those 7 end-of-course exams, but I get a remediation-free score on the ACT as a junior, then I am exempt from passing all 7 of those end-of-course exams. The third pathway, and I think it's right-minded, is that we want to provide kids with opportunities to have workforce-ready credentials when they graduate. That even though we have anywhere between 66 and 75% of our students going on to college or two-year school or the military, also some of them, a lot of them have to work their way through. And or if they are going into a two-year school or they are going straight to the workforce, if they have that credential and can get a higher earning job as a result of that credential, that's good thinking. So I know you're going to continue to see more information. ODE just got their hands on this, so they're trying to work through the details of those three pathways. But I like the idea there's multiple ways to graduate.
So it is reasonable to think, just for clarification, a student could take English 1 or 9 or whatever that end of course, and could pass the course for the year by grade at our school and fail the state test and possibly not graduate from high school until they pass that test.
Correct.
I just want to make sure that's 7, very clear.
7 exams, 1 pathway. Mm-hmm.
Just because you pass the course by our standards or by letter grade, if you will, it does require the passage of the state level exam in order to, in all of those areas, in order to be considered for your diploma.
And are those particular ones that same year? So like if it's English 9, do they take it that year?
Yes.
Or do they take it before?
They take it that year. Okay. So it's going to start off, the testing window in the first year is still going to be a spring testing window. Where the state wants to get to is kids can learn at different paces. We're going to meet them where they're at. If they can learn English 9 in a semester, or they can test out of English 9, they should be able to sit right then and there to take that English 9 end-of-course exam and not have to wait 6 months to this artificial timeline of taking it in May. So the goal of the state is to have this free-flowing online window that as a school, if we say this kid's ready to take that end-of-course exam, even though they've completed that course early or used credit flexibility or some other method, they can take it right then and there. It's not going to happen right out of the gate, but that's their goal. And I think it goes to show I'm passionate about grading and what does a grade mean, that grade should really reflect student learning. It shouldn't be substituted with extra credit for bringing in tissue boxes or other items that might not really be true to what a student knows.
So would you think that the high school report card mark might start to reflect a more standards-based flair, like our elementaries have? Our elementaries aren't a true standards base, but they definitely have standard-based elements.
Sure.
Would you start to think that we'd be giving feedback similar to that to students and parents about student performance?
Well, I know we're a ways away from that. I'm an absolute believer that when you see a B or a C or even an A on your child's report card, at least with an A, you think, okay, they know everything they're supposed to know to some degree. But what does that B or C really tell me about my son or daughter's learning? But if there was that C there, and then let's say in the first semester there were 12 concepts, not 12 standards, but 12 concepts or big ideas that we really expect students to know in algebra, you'd be able to see, okay, they have this C, but where are they ineffective? Where are they still developing? What have they mastered? Concept or standard by standard, which I think is a much more valuable communication tool to our parents, our students, and our community. So absolutely.
Thank you.
So new courses for this coming year. You guys have heard about Japanese being offered, so we will have Japanese one.
Both Ed has been working on his Japanese.
Yes. I think he's going to ask his questions in Japanese tonight.
He's ready. You've got the floor.
Believe me, I need to work on my Japanese here in the next few days. So we're going to have Japanese one at the high school and middle school. And I'm going to let Sean, I've been a part of these meetings, but through some of our grant opportunities, we have a unique circumstance where to be very collaborative with the neighboring school district.
So we had a meeting this week with some administrators from North Union, and we worked out a distance learning agreement where our teachers will be on their campus 2 days a week and our campus 3 days a week, and we will be able to teach a distance learning course in Japanese with our Japanese teachers.
So basically we'll be able to stream what's going on. So if Daniel Sakamoto is in over at Bunsell teaching Japanese 1, that will be live streamed to North Union. But twice a week we'll also be able to send Ia from the high school to actually be in that classroom, because there is something about having that teacher right in front of you, especially with a new language such as Japanese 1. And so it will also provide that opportunity for our students to connect with another school district students as well and to learn from each other. So I think it's a neat opportunity. And as we start a new language, to be able to offer, as we'll talk about here shortly, a blended learning, distance learning atmosphere, and really push the envelope of what teaching and learning can be.
Hey, both schools, I think, were extremely excited about having the opportunity to work together. Very, very positive, collaborative meeting.
Absolutely. Anything to add to that?
No, I would just say, certainly we had lengthy conversation about hiring a Japanese teacher, and we knew with the forecast that we are setting in pretty good shape. And I've met with some community leaders who are working out some ways to help support the second Japanese teacher. So it's really a community investment in trying to push and support some of the Japanese culture. Certainly makes a whole lot of sense for Union County. So excited. It's really a nice collaboration through a lot of entities. So we're pretty excited about that.
There's been a lot of talk over the past couple years about computer science being kind of the next core academic area or another way to demonstrate your math potential. So next year we will offer kind of an introductory computer science class out of our business department. Chris Dice, there's a software that's going to be open to both Bunsold and the high school called Linda that will aid kind of in that process in terms of curriculum. But they'll be exposed to different programming language and introductory to that. And I think that will be a benefit for our kids because we don't currently have an applied math such as that. American Cultural Studies is taking English 10 and American History, and they're going to make it a humanities block and do a lot of co-teaching and collaboration there. We have 60 students with two teachers over two periods. I'm really excited about what they're doing. They've been doing a lot of planning and
they're going to bring all 60 kids together, they're going to break them apart, and really teach in an interdisciplinary, collaborative manner. I'm very excited about that opportunity. Another cross-curricular engineering physics, our physics teacher and our ag engineering teacher, Bill Keck and Mr. Cooper, are getting together to have an engineering physics course, so a very applied physics course, using a lab space. So our kids aren't just learning small little labs or mechanical physics. They actually get to go apply it and do some big problem solving in the open lab space that our ag department has. So some great opportunities for our kids, and we're going to continue over the next year and 2 years to look very closely at what we have to offer. Just some of the things to help us be successful, whether it's just with our overall school environment, teaching and learning, end-of-course exams, OGTs, and feel free, Sean, Scott, to step in on things on here. So blended learning, that is a phrase where we take live classroom teaching with a virtual environment and combine the two. Our science teachers have been doing a lot of that over the past couple years with flipping the classroom, putting videos online, coming in and doing labs. Schoology, which is a new software piece that we're going to be rolling out and have already done training with our teachers this summer, will allow us to do that on a greater scale. Response intervention, Scott, do you want to share anything in regards to the direction we're moving with that?
RTI, or response intervention, you heard Mr. Cook refer to Tier 1 or Tier 2. RTI, it's a multi-tiered approach to really identifying areas of weakness and then figuring out what can we do to accommodate this kid to make them more successful in the classroom. Tier 1 is really just working with kids within the classroom. It's great teaching practices. Tier 3 gets all the way down into the it's much more the intervention. It's just a greater, deeper intervention. If kids still aren't being successful at that point, that's when we're looking to refer kids to be tested for like special education services, that sort of thing. So it's a multi-tiered approach to helping kids in the classroom.
Virtual learning. So most of our pure virtual learning has either occurred through credit flexibility, where kids are going potentially elsewhere through another organization or university to get a credit. Maybe it's because we don't offer it or it doesn't fit in their schedule. Predominantly how we've used it this past year is with credit recovery. If kids get behind after a couple of years, you can only earn 7 credits by sitting through all of our classes, and they might be needing, let's say in their senior year, they might need 12 credits or 10 credits. And so we have an online environment that happens out of our old library that has been known as PACE. We use APEX. We went to that this year because it's more aligned to the new standards of a more rigorous nature. And we'll continue to use that, but we're adding some availability. Instead of kids going elsewhere through credit flexibility, that we'll be able to retain some of those students here and offer them some courses in our building with our own facilitation of that. Individual PE plans, we're going to be piloting that next year. What we've seen through credit flexibility in our own athletic and band waivers is kids are earning PE in a lot of different ways. And even in the summertime, they're going to Trekka or some other online agency to earn their PE credit. We believe in students having healthy lifestyles and being fit, and so we really wanted to own this process. And Mr. McSwords and I, we've had conversations all year, and I think he's had conversations even before I got on the scene with Mr. Williams as a former PE teacher about what that can look like. And so really it's going to come down to setting fitness goals with the students and what are you passionate about, whether it be our own show choir students or I'm doing karate or I'm going to train for a triathlon, and what are some goals you're going to set, and we're going to monitor those along the way and make sure you're meeting those goals. And Joe has a great demeanor in working with kids, and he's going to use Schoology as well. And so the second semester, we're going to be rolling that out to a population of our students and kind of making a transition from a traditional high school PE, which I think kids are finding other ways to get PE credit, and sometimes not the best PE credit either, to really encourage those fit lifestyles. Capstone project, Sean did a little pilot this past year, maybe if you can keep it short, because I know we're running
long. We had a few of our ag students, they were set up very easily to start this process, and they would place them in local businesses. I know one that we were closely with was Flint Sires here in Eaton County, and had some success there. Didn't get it off the ground quite as soon as we wanted to, but we did get some good valuable experience and good valuable feedback in order to take it to the next step next year.
So I believe in capstone projects and potentially getting to a point where possibly all seniors, that could be something that they do for graduation. So we're going to continue. I've tasked Sean with building that pilot up to a greater extent this year. I've already talked about cross-curricular collaboration. Dual enrollment in PSEO will continue to grow here at Marysville High School, especially with our partnership with Columbus State. That's a great opportunity for our kids to earn high school and college credit. And certainly the High Board of Regents says if a kid can walk into a college or a two-year school with 30 credit hours towards something, they're likely to be more successful. The last piece, pathways that lead to a credential, you'll be hearing about that more from the high school, and it goes to that third graduation pathway, graduating with a workforce credential. We're going to be looking closely at what makes a nice fit here for Marysville High School and what we have to offer that also complements the STEM building. So bottom line, we're going to continue to meet kids where they're at, do the things that we need to do, whether it's based upon their learning style, their ability, their interests. Those are some focus areas that we're going to be focusing on this year. Assessment continues to be important. The 24 concepts idea, Marzano talks about, instead of going a mile wide and an inch deep, that let's look at the standards, bundle them together, and what are those 24 concepts in a year that students can truly master? Versus maybe the 56 standards that are out there for a content area. And we're going to do that work in professional learning communities, whether that's department meetings, cross-department meetings, but those four questions are going to be everywhere in our building. What do students need to learn? And that's the pretty easy question, although we're going to focus on how do we get this to 24 concepts for the year. How do they know they learn it? That's how are we going to assess it? What do we do if they haven't learned it? That's the tricky question. Because we know we have a finite amount of time for kids to learn, and how do we take a pause in learning while keeping everybody else moving forward? And equally as tricky of a question is, what do we do if they already know it? And that can be a stumbling block at times. So that's going to happen in a myriad of ways and at different times, and it's going to be ongoing conversations this year. And we've kind of divided ourselves up to be very targeted and intentional with what teachers and departments we work with, so we're really on top of those conversations. I think we're down to a few slides. Scheduling. This past year, before I arrived, Marysville High School went to an 8-period day, 50-minute periods. There's been pros, there's been cons. There have been people wanting to go back to the 9-period day that they had. I don't know if that's the solution. So we put together a group, because if you're not familiar with high school life, we are giving kids what do they want to sign up for in November or December, and we already have to have our master schedule to you guys by October if we're going to change it, to be in front of you to say this is what we want to do so kids can start scheduling. So this group started meeting in May. We've met 3 times already. We've gotten faculty input via Google survey. We've gotten student input via Google survey. I'm going to be meeting with parents in late July, early August to get some feedback from them. And we've already done a lot of great work. We've looked at surveys from the Columbus area all the way to Hawaii, just trying to get a variety of schedules to look at based upon feedback, to really be innovative and meet the needs of our kids. I'm going to skip these 2 slides and just go to questions.
I do have 1 question for Mr. Blind. You said that we do not have a home golf course anymore. Where are the students practicing?
Kind of depends on what course they're going to be. Say they have an OCC match, the coach will get a van and take them to where they played the day before to give them a chance to practice. A lot of times they're going to practice out at,
Darby Creek?
Darby Creek.
Okay.
They have a couple matches there this year. They have their tournament there this year. That's where we generally go for our first round of the OHSA tournament.
Okay.
Thank you. So, Back when I first came on board last summer, we had some issues with the golf course the boys team normally has used, and we made a commitment to the parents that we were no longer going to use that course moving forward. So that's what I said.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Luke.
I had a question about the safety. Does the ALICE program now every year, is that
yes, that is correct.
Do all the teachers and students get trained like once a year now, or how does that go?
It'll be refresher courses. It may not look the same as it did this first year, but yes, they will continue to be trained teachers and students.
So we will run through one or two safety drills with our kids. We ran through a couple different scenarios this past fall. So we'll definitely do something again in the fall and probably look to add at least one more safety drill in the spring so that we're up to two.
As well, we have, for all our new staff, built into their orientation time, the longer 4-hour training. So we'll be doing that, I think, in conjunction with North Union and Fairbanks for new staff coming on board.
And I did have one question about the testing. Did you say the ACT, I can't quite call it, are all the juniors going to take it?
So the state has committed that every junior in Ohio, the state's going to pay for all of them to take the a college entrance-like exam. Most likely it's going to be the ACT or SAT, but I was at a conference Tuesday, and
they don't know yet.
They still have to put it out to bid, and will some other entity come out that hasn't nationally recognized, but it's not to the level of ACT or SAT? I don't know. I think if you talk to people, I think it's leaning towards ACT, but I wouldn't put it that way.
I'm just trying to imagine how this all fits together. So they will then get their score. And even if they fail one of these other tests, they're clear,
so
because their ACT is high enough?
They would still have to pass our course. So let's say that a kid did get a D or a C in English 10. And so they passed our course and earned the credit. So kids will still have to earn 21 credits, 21 high school credits, 4 English, 4 math, 3 science, etc. But let's say they failed that end of course exam. And that could have been... they barely passed the course by the skin of their teeth and didn't have enough knowledge, or maybe it was a bad test, that it was just a bad day for them, or how the test was written, who knows. But on another test of equal kind of importance to a student's life, especially if they're going on to college and they can pass that with a college readiness score, then okay, they're ready, we're going to waive that. So they haven't figured out how that reflects on the report card though either. So if he fails this, or she fails that, but then passes, what does that look like? I'm not sure.
They haven't decided composite versus each testing area. I mean, all that is yet to be determined for our incoming freshman class. I think we can't say that enough.
Right.
Our incoming freshman class, the kids that will step in here for the first time,
August 18th,
have a whole different set of standards that have yet to be defined.
So I could say on Tuesday, I was glad I wasn't the ODE person standing up there.
Yeah.
He was as well prepared as he could be, but the legislation just passed the night before.
Right. So a lot of questions without answers.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple comments, because before the meeting I was thinking, well, I kind of wondered what some of your challenges or opportunities were here with the new STEM school. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you're going to have less freshmen, you're going to have some more space and everything, but I do want to say before you answer that, just that when I think about our new district strategy, you guys are nailing it. You know, I hear collaboration, innovation, and it inspires me.
What we want to do with the old library. But what I think, and Kathy and I talk about this a lot, is that I think it's a great opportunity for our students. They have a choice, and we're going to complement each other. We don't want to be the same things, otherwise that defeats the purpose of having choice. But when you think about, we are anywhere in the next few years somewhere around a 1,600 student high school, everybody considered, and that becomes difficult for our teachers and even me as an administrator really get to know 1,600 kids. But if you look in the future, 3 to 4 years, and 500 to 600 students are in the STEM building, we're down around 1,000 students. I mean, that's going to be, we're going to have big school resources with kind of that small school, intimate, we can really get to know some students and our families, and I think that's fun stuff. The part we didn't get to talk about was kind of our space. We obviously have a lot of space here. How do we start to think about high school campus different. You guys know what your classrooms look like when you went through school. You've been in our buildings and know what they look like, and they've changed some. How can we be even more progressive when you go to places like Clark Hall in Gahanna or the Hilliard ILC in Hilliard and have some collaborative open spaces that encourage creativity and innovation? And the old library is kind of a warehouse of storage for this building and for the district. And we really want to open it up and make a learning studio where groups of teachers can collaborate. And we can have different zones of learning going on that kids that can work independently, collaboratively, large group, that we can have a class of 45 or 50 in there and then break apart. I think there are opportunities like that around the building, but we're going to experiment with the old library.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
First of all, too, I guess next Tuesday, our very own Mr. Cook will be traveling to Japan to represent Marysville community and Marysville schools. He'll be gone for 11 days. I was going to say 12, somewhere in the middle. And certainly Honda helped today and gave him a what to do and what not to do lesson.
That's right. Hold on to your business card with both hands.
Lots of business cards.
I was really pushing Chris Dice. Where are those new business cards? I was told I need about 200 of them for this.
That's right.
So we're excited. Certainly a great opportunity through, he'll be traveling there with...
it's the Japan Foundation and kind of Eric Phillips from the Union County Chamber of Commerce. And between Honda and the Detroit Japanese consulate, kind of made the connection and talked to Diane, and then I applied, and one of 15 educators from around the country going over to spend 11 days in
Japan. That's great.
Japan.
They're trying to work out an opportunity for him to visit the sister city as well in his schedule. So great opportunity for our community and for Aaron, and certainly we're grateful that you're going. And
a little overwhelmed.
Make
still.
Sure you remember the don't do things.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to our superintendent's report. Mrs. Mankins.
All right. Earlier this week, I shared with you our third grade reading results. I'm certainly happy to report that there will be zero students retained in Marysville as a result of the third grade reading guarantee. Certainly, we are pleased as a district to score right around 87%, but understand that we still have a ways to go. We want to get that up a little bit higher. To note, I think really improvement of Edgewood scores from last year to this year. At the third grade in particular, this year at over an 85% passage. Last year, third grade at Edgewood was not that high. We'll just put it that way. So we certainly are pleased with the growth at Edgewood. Monday, we'll be expecting the 4 through 8 results. So as soon as those are calculated and divided out by building, I will forward them to you as well. We've completed our data meetings with principals. I would say that we have some pockets where principals, remember the bar raises to 80 this year. So traditionally on the report card, 75% of your students had to be successful to gain the indicator. This year that has been increased to 80. And I know some principals are concerned and right on the edge with some of the data we've been looking at. So we'll be anxious to get that in. As you know, last year the only indicator we did not receive was 8th grade science in that portion. So, and we were at 74.8. We needed 75 to get that indicator. So I'll forward those as soon as we get those. I also wanted to echo, I thought graduation was fantastic. Beautiful night, great ceremony. I think everything went very well. Shortly after the end of the school year, I guess it was the following week, you'll see on the agenda tonight the number of teachers that were involved in some kind of professional development is a very robust selection of opportunities for our staff, including some STEM, some reading instruction, and a variety of things. So super excited to see them engage. Our coaches and principals did a great job putting that on as well. I was also going to hit on the new graduation requirements. I think Aaron did a nice job of that. It will be something we want to continue to keep our finger on as ODE rolls out what that is going to look like. It's difficult to have a communication plan with families coming into the eighth grade when we don't have a lot of definition yet. So we'll be continuing to work on that as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Mr. Johnson, Treasurer's Report.
I want to let you know that the bond refunding closed on Monday, June 9th. That went well. Interest rates came in our favor, so final savings ended up just under $844,000 for the life of the bond, so that's good news for our debt service fund. We're also keeping an eye on another bond issue that we're potentially may be able to refund sooner rather than later, so keep an eye on that, and I'll keep you updated. Just to update a couple of the items that are on the agenda for tonight. We've got the Easy Pay agreement on there. Currently, we lease the Easy Pay software for our online credit card payment system. The recommendation tonight would be to purchase that software as opposed to leasing the software. That will get us a lower user fee percentage. The savings from that lower percentage will actually pay for the software as the bills come in over the first 3 years. Those bills will be spread out, and then after the software is purchased using that savings, then we'll realize additional savings each year. I would project that somewhere in the range of $20,000, but that would vary with usage. If usage goes up, the savings would go up as well. Other big item on the agenda are the fiscal year 15 appropriations. The appropriations are similar in total to the fiscal year 14 original appropriations. You'll notice that in total it was an increase of about 1.75%, so really close. The general fund in particular, comparing that to what's in the five-year forecast, it's an increase of about 0.3%, so really close, $135,000 over. And actually, once we got all the budgets in and we compiled them, we were actually quite a bit over, so we did a lot of cutting to get that down as close as we could. In the end, we left it there a little higher, the big reason being foundation deductions that really are outside of our control. Also hard to project sometimes. Best case scenario, those could end up coming down lower, and then we could actually see some savings. But yeah, I've also been on the other end of that where they come in higher. So that's all for me. If there's any questions.
Okay. Just thought, did we want to have the STEM update from Kathy? And
we did that with her.
Yeah, that's
okay. Kathy, would you like to talk about STEM?
I would.
Okay.
Thanks.
I apologize for skipping you.
Okay, Craig
apologizes. I saw Craig over there. I'm like, I think he's like,
okay,
when do I get to talk?
She's fine.
Okay. I'm very excited. The closer we get to the opening of the school, the more confident I know. I think I know what I'm doing, which probably scare you about the last 5 months. I really do feel like last month I talked to you a lot about training, and we have accomplished a lot of that. This past week we've had teachers with problem-based learning and blended learning. A lot of our classes next year have, a couple of them are pretty good size, and so I think the blended learning is something that everybody wants to try to accommodate, to be more personalized in what we do with kids, and so I'm very excited about that. We had Marcy Raymond come and work with our staff. She opened both Metro High School and then went to the STEM Academy. And we talked about mastery learning and inquiry learning and how we will use our design cycle and really spent a good day thinking about how that was going to work in our school. EdWorks has helped us in training for advisory. We've also done some training with Assessments, which is an online tutoring program that's free, and you can build your own content or use content, and kids get immediate feedback. So we have some teachers trained in that that we'll also be using. As a result of the training, we're even doing something with it then, that we first of all have all 18 weeks of the first semester plan for our advisory program. We're going to mirror what the high school is doing. They're going to have a Monarch period on Wednesday. We're going to run a shortened period also, so we can do that. Then second semester, that's when we will offer our Columbus State class in that same time block, which is like a study skills and an introduction to college. So all of our students will take that first credit with Columbus State that way also. We've had lots of discussions then about how we will use inquiry-based learning and what that will look like for our students. You know, we talked, Aaron and I have talked at length about mastery learning, and that's something that we are really going to, if we want kids to say, you're going to get to a certain part, we have to use the standards to show parents. It's exactly your, you can't say they're getting 80%, 80% of what? But what we will want to be able to say is, this is where they're progressing in their learning. And it will also let those kids that move a little faster progress at their own pace. And so that's our grand promise, and I really think that my staff is all in about that, and that is exactly how we're going to try. And we have the luxury of a small number of students to start with. We have 147 students that are all scheduled, which for me makes the first day really exciting because everybody's going to be scheduled. And because there are only 147, we can schedule them. Nobody's going to have one schedule change. It's ready to go. So we're working. I hoped, but that's exactly it. Next Thursday and Friday, we have our Summer Bridge program, which is a two-day introduction. We have a design challenge for kids. Columbus Day is coming. We have a couple little sessions just to have them get to know the different aspects of the school. Of the 147, we have 132 kids coming, which, and everybody else had legitimate reasons. They were out of town, they were on a mission trip. We have huge support, and parents are invited that last afternoon, so we have a question and answer. I'm going to tell them the things I'm sure their kids will have forgotten that we told them the day before, and then they're going to get to see the design challenge. Mrs. Mankins has helped by having us working with Honda of Marysville, and they're going to be cars that we're going to use in our design challenge. So I'm a little anxious about it.
This is great. You can't tell the design challenge.
Yeah, you don't know this yet. But I am a little worried about a lot of 14-year-olds around brand-new cars, but I'm going to let that go. I'm sure it's going to be perfect. So we have a lot going on, and I am very excited, and I can't wait. I know Craig's going to have very cool pictures, aren't you? About the building, and so we are really ready to go, or much closer. I mean, it's sort of amazing. The only other thing that we've done, and been very serious about this month, is ordering supplies, because part of the promise of the grant was to get, make sure we had encumbered funds. It's been a really good conversation with all of the staff to say, well, what do we really need? I mean, it's really helped us evaluate, what do you need to teach? I mean, and do you really need what you needed in the past? And so I think that the bigger conversation is not only being thoughtful about what we spent, but what we needed and how that will impact learning. So I think I've forgotten anything. Okay, that's great.
The other thing I think I would add is in the bill that Aaron was referencing was also that the governor signed off on also gives you a year to spend the money, which we're almost at June 30th anyways, and everyone's been planning for June 30th. So it appears that we will have a little more time, but ODE still hasn't really communicated what that might look like. So we have moved forward with how we have things organized anyways. So, Craig, are you ready?
Right here.
All right. So it's pretty exciting time. I had the opportunity to go through the building late this afternoon and take some snapshots and send some tweets out. There's actually paint on some of the walls.
Wow.
Are you going to show us tonight?
I hope so. I'm going to give it my all. Have seen some rather extraordinary events. Who's to say? I think that's a famous reader. We have been working very hard trying to get things ready to go for the start of school. Right now we are looking, we have the building broken up into four areas. A, B, C, D. A is mechatronics and weld labs and CAD labs. B is the cafeteria, student lounge, teacher lounge. C is the core academics, the biggest space in most classrooms. And D is the IT labs and project labs. And science is kind of up there at the top of the building. So we are we're looking at it kind of going backwards. We're starting at D, C, B, and then working our way towards A. The idea is you want to protect and make sure you have everything you've done to start with the academic experience first. Mechatronics, weld lab, those are all things that you'll have but that don't necessarily are going to be used right at the start of the school year. So we started B in the IT labs in the back half of the building towards, towards Maple Street. And we worked our way forward. We have most all of our HVAC, what we call roughed in above ceiling. This coming, the week after 4th of July, we'll be setting all of our rooftop units. So all of a sudden you'll see some very large air handling units put on top of the building. We connected our ductwork. We've already started paint, as Diane has mentioned. And the big paint and grid are pretty big milestones in the construction business, especially in schools. We start ceiling grid. That means you're heading towards getting ready to finish out the area, start flooring, and head towards completion. So right at the July 4th holiday, we'll be ready to start ceiling grid. And within about 3 weeks, have most all the ceilings in, have lights in, have flooring ongoing. We'll be throwing in ceiling tile. So it's going to be a lot of work, a lot of things going on out there. So I'll take you through a quick tour of your facility. Starting the mechatronics lab, this was the last bit of demolition we had to complete. There was a large wall that goes 22 feet high here, so there'll be an angled wall that kind of goes across and past this pier. There'll be a big, large wall with a big, large, open overhead door, so you walk into mechatronics, it gives you a really neat look into all the equipment, to all the robotics. I didn't get a capture, but you have a very large window wall to the east, facing the east, as you walk in. Another shot, we finished with the demolition last bit. That was your band room. We talk about... This is your weld lab. So again, we're putting in our ductwork. We're getting ready to finish up our stuff above ceiling and work our way down. I forgot what we're using lecture hall for. That's getting carpeted.
That's going to be the former choir room. That will be distance learning lab. As well as large group lecture hall. Kind of, it's going to have much more the college feel in that room.
It's a pretty neat space.
Big monitors on each side.
This will be your CNC area that passes from the CNC equipment room over to the weld area. And there's a large overhead door there. And again, a lot of glass you can see from the corridors in. That's another shot of the CNC area. That's your CAD lab for all your CAD equipment and computers. It was the old art room, if you orientate yourself. And the kitchen's right behind me in this photo. That's the hallway heading down there. So again, we're making our way from D all the way towards A in an organized bunch of chaos. Cafeteria, again, we got a lot of piping and a lot of things overhead that we've been working on, getting it ready for equipment and starting that ceiling grid so we can get the area finished. That is some long, very long, 40-foot long beams. I think they're W18 by 108 feet, and a 24-inch web, or I'm sorry, W18, 18-inch web, and they're 96 pounds per linear foot. So those are big beams put in there to hold the air handlers. They're ginormous. But the reason I say that, that's not a negative thing. The reason why we're putting large air handlers on your roof is because the requirements to change air and provide a good environmental space for the kids has changed over the years. And now the thought process of bringing more air, changing more air, we need the bigger equipment to do that. So that's why we're putting big equipment in there, so we can change air and keep a fresh environment for the students. That will be the staff lounge. We're in the old media center now, where we had a bunch of walls in there. We tore them down. We have new structural steel in there. We've got our ductwork and things we are finishing. That is the student lounge on the other side. These are the classrooms that would be along the courtyard straight back, or not the courtyard, but the back alley is straight at the end of these row classrooms. So again, we're finishing all the classrooms there to... South, the south side of the building, facing the south.
Athletic director's office, straight back. You're familiar with that.
This is your ramp. And again, a neat feature here, you can see some of the neat features that they're putting in. That's a very unique curved type of soffit. It's very difficult to install, but that's a collaboration area. We're going to have benches there. Kids can sit there, eat their lunch, hang out, talk, study. So there you go. That's supposed to be doing. Again, still putting in structural steel for our large air handling units. That's as you walk in through the front door as I'm facing the straight into the bathroom to this side, you kind of orientate yourself. There's a bathroom on the other side, on the right side now. Again, looking towards the front doors. This is a free study area. This will all have nice, really unique furnishings in it, and carpet in a good space for kids just to sit down, a quiet space for them to study. These are your classrooms. The not the lecture hall, the other one with the pit?
The auditorium?
The auditorium is on the other side of this wall. So on each side of these, now this is the alleys on the back side. You're going to bring in all that natural light on this side. You're going to have all aluminum. That's what this, you see all this right here for. That's all going to be glass. So again, the kids get to sit in there and have natural light brought in for them. And it's a really neat space. Flexible project lab.
Project lab. So as teachers do design challenges, it'll be a free open space for students to collaborate and do their team
really
project.
Really neat space, really long.
Used to be the IT department.
Right. Now, on the other side, we'll do the courtyard. Again, the courtyard is a bit overgrown, so we're going to rip it all out and clean it up and make it look nice and presentable for when we open up school. This is your science classrooms. Again, all those stripes, you see, that's drywall finish. That's the important part of getting ready for ceiling grid, is getting the drywall finish, getting it sanded, getting it painted. And this is the entire open, long science classroom. There'll be a wall divider. We're putting a fume hood, I believe, in there.
Sure.
More of your science classrooms, just the other side of the wall. I hope someone knows where all that goes, because... I took a shot at it thinking, oh my goodness, how do they even figure out what goes to what? But evidently they do. Our mechanical room, getting our boilers in place. Pretty soon we'll be packaged pumps in there, expansion tanks, evaporators, all the stuff you need to run the HVAC equipment will be done here relatively quickly. Looks like there's a lot to do, and there is, but it'll go very quickly. This is heading back towards area what we call E, the addition, 96 addition. We're already starting to put paint on the walls. This is your wet labs for your science classrooms. One of those two digital labs. So we've got a shot of your digital labs here. We're putting drywall. This is your IT classrooms, the outside of them. Here's that shot kind of inside. So again, you see all these here, this will all be glass and aluminum. Really neat. We're going to have new doors here. The doors that are right behind me as I stand will be brand new. They'll be mostly glass, bring in natural light. We're bringing in a couple of skylights, bring as much natural light as we can. It'll be a really neat space. So this is the free study area right over here. IT, I watched Chris. I was going to be here. I took a picture of this place just for him. In our bathroom. Oops. Now... getting our bathrooms done. All of our bathrooms are getting ready for tile, for plumbing fixtures. Kind of boring, but for us, it's a pretty important part of it, getting ready for inspections. Who could pick these colors?
Kathy and I did.
You picked these colors?
We did.
You don't have to be defensive. I just asked the question.
I was bragging about it. I said, you know, there's a lot of color in the building, and I think that's because
that there is.
That Diane and I have picked that out. So, yeah.
That plus when you see the flooring is going to be rather unique. So, that's a nickel tour. We're doing very well. We're looking to wrap up at least what we call D, C, and B, that being the IT area, the science, the core academics, and the student-teacher lounge by the time we plan to open. Mechatronics is going to lag out a few weeks after that, but we'll finish it up as quickly as we can and be ready, certainly when the curriculum needs to have it complete, we'll be ready for it.
Great.
Questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Do you need anything else from me?
No, I think we're good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Board President's report. Got a few things to go over. First of all, if you recall at our last meeting, when we passed the TIF agreement, part of that we had a conversation about having a review in 10 years to look at that TIF agreement. And so I did meet with Terry Emery, our city administrator, and he did draft a letter agreeing that we would review the TIF agreement every 10 years with the school board, look at the performance as it relates to the 2014 edition of that Meyer parcel. But in our conversation, he said, Sue, at any time, if we want to talk about it, if we want to, you know, check and see what that progress has been, he's more than willing to have that conversation. So I thought that was a good thing to get that in writing. Also, just kind of a shout out, we did get an invitation to the BASE summer camp final project presentations. That's at Bunsell, the after school program, and this coming Thursday, June 26th, from 10:30 in the morning until noon at the Bunsell Auditorium, they're going to be putting on their final project presentations. So I know I can't make it. I'm going to try and get there the day before, but they sent an invitation to the community, to staff, and so I think if anybody's interested in going over there, I think it should be really nice. Thursday, 10:30 in the morning until noon at the Bunsold Auditorium. Also, next Tuesday, I'm going to be part of a group that's going to be visiting the Euler School. That's O-Y-L-E-R. It's an integrated school health social community system down in Cincinnati. And Dr. Mary Applegate has kind of been spearheading this. Just, again, it's that integration of school and community and social health. And so, like Brenda Rock, John Gore representing Job and Family Services, I think Judge Eupinger and Fraser are both going on the trip, as well as Superintendent Rick Smith from North Union, because they're piloting a few things, and so Bob Ahern, Dick Douglas from Senior Services. So that's going to be really interesting to see that, and I'll report back on that. I had a chamber meeting this morning, and in the higher education report from Eric Phillips, he was saying how they're creating a video by interviewing both students and business leaders to try and highlight skills gaps in the business in businesses in our community. And so he said they've already interviewed students, and then they're going to be approaching the businesses. And the purpose of this video is to show it to students so that they get a better idea of what businesses are looking for. So I thought that was really nice. Also commented about how you had spoken, I think, at one of the commissioners' meeting, and that was very well received. And then a shout-out for the Chamber Golf Outing. That's a fundraiser for them. It's Friday, August 1st. So if anybody's interested in being part of that golf outing, call the Chamber. And that's it for my report. And now we have Mr. Decco for the Ohio High Point Report.
Evening, everybody.
Hello, Kevin.
Sorry about that, that's okay.
Sure.
Before I get started, congratulations, Mr. Cook, is it?
Yes.
You were selected. I've been in Japan 4 different times, so I can give you some hints. Some advice, lots of business cards. You need to try the Pokatsu, the import is delicious. And do not be late for the subway trains. It's a model.
I think I got the reach on the subway.
They will push you in like this and you sit like this.
They show me a very good image.
Yeah. This is fabulous. I love it. Thank you. So some updates on High Point. The convocation was on the 28th of May, and the weather did not cooperate, so they actually had to move some stuff out of high school. But still, it's a very nice ceremony. A number of the students did participate in the actual event. If my math serves me correctly, there were 5 American students who recognized the top 15 academic majors. That was a good thing to see. Dr. Price talked about a few things that last month. Meaning that they have a number of staffing positions that they're trying to recruit for, namely the satellite supervisor positions. I think they need to fill one of those. He did mention that Deb Wortman will focus on ODE mandate and support the CTE program. She also will work with the local businesses and the partner schools and kind of planning and implementation of the program. He just reiterated that their calendar has been set. And the school year will start at 8:15 a.m. versus 8:30, 15 minutes add-on. He did recognize a number of staff members. You may know these folks, Heather Reed, 30 years, Cameron Schwarter, 35 years, and Mr. Robert Walker, 40 years. I believe Robert's in the facility here. He continues to participate in a number of public relations and educational activities, namely to kind of to build community relationships and continue those activities with partner schools. The treasurer report, basic blocking and tackling, as I call it, financials are good. It did seek approval to actually retire early at Huntington, from the Huntington Bank loan, so that was done. They did donate some I-beams from UCO Industries. I'm not sure what that was used for, but they accepted that donation. And Apple Books, MacBooks, were given to Champaign and Madison County Charter School. We then went into the executive session and talked about employment and some compensation issues. Shelly Sweeney gave an update from the director. She gave some updates on the facility upgrades and so forth in the multimedia, the auto services, and welding and management building. These projects appear to be on schedule and on budget. She did mention that the top 15 students were given the opportunity to honor their favorite educator that had impacted their life. And I guess that was very moving, some of those letters. And then some specific updates for our Marysville teachers. Amy Nickel reported out that one student from the Marysville CBI program was recognized as a statewide winner of the Jeff Gaker Scholarship. And in the modern marketplace, they're kind of winding down on that to sell that merchandise. Judy Fletcher students attended the Future Educators National Conference in Minneapolis. It was supposed to place in the top 10 of the service level of presentation. And then Ashley Thompson reported out that Jessica Whitline won the State Proficiency Award in the area of media production, and she was also recognized as a Star State Blue Finalist. Good stuff there. The welding and fabrication of the new program from OHP, I think enrollment is 18 students, if I remember correctly. Those folks attended recently OVAR Institute to kind of get a level set what they might expect in the new program at OHP. I did provide Sue some detailed data and enrollments you might have. I don't have my report the numbers, but overall the enrollment is up next year, which is this past school year. The increase is really attributed to the satellite program. So that's what we're seeing in all the three. And like I said, Sue has some details.
Thank you. Thank you for providing that. No, I just wanted to point, when you were talking about the teacher updates there, both Amy Nickel and Ashley Thompson received grants from the chamber. They had, like, leadership and education awards, and so they both received grants from them. So, yeah, they're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Legislative report. Mr. Smith is not here tonight, but he did leave me a few notes to share. I'll try and go through these pretty quickly. On House Bill 487, several of us did reach out and speak with, and send emails or talk to both Mr. Burke and Mrs. Palanda about the cost of the College Credit Plus program, because there were some changes that they were talking about that would have cost our district a significant amount of money. But as it stands right now, they did kind of go back to the way it was. I don't know if it's exactly the way it was, but they did give the school districts flexibility in creating a cost structure for schools and families with regard to that College Credit Plus that should be, I think, favorable for us. So that was a good thing, and we really appreciated Dorothy and Dave listening to us and helping out in that area. And then also, the teacher evaluation changes have now become part of House Bill 362, and there's some major changes that is really going to give our administrators some flexibility, because they're saying that a teacher who receives a rating of accomplished would only need to be evaluated once every 3 years. If you receive a rating of skilled, every 2 years, as long as the teacher's student academic growth measure is average or higher, and all other teachers would continue to be evaluated every year. Having said that, principals or administrators always have the opportunity to evaluate whoever they want to evaluate at any time, but this does give them that flexibility because it's a pretty lengthy process to do that. And then on House Bill 483, two items of note. He said that it will allow districts to use proceeds from the sale of property to pay for permanent improvements. That We could not do that in the past, so that's a nice change. And also remove provisions that would have prohibited school districts from challenging property values when assumed to be set too low for tax appraisal purposes. So, yeah, and those were a couple of hot items that I think a lot of people sent in comments about. And so, again, we want to thank Senator Burke and Representative Galanda for their conversations with us. And since the Drug and Safety Committee report was part of the high school report, we can move on to public participation. And I don't believe there is any.
There is not.
Okay. Then we can move on to approval of minutes from the prior meetings. So that was both our regular board meeting of May 15th, a special meeting on May 13th, and a special meeting on June 10th. So do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Pleasant, second by Mrs. Powers. Roll call, please.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion passes. All right, now let's see, item 9.1, approve the Hope Center resolution. So let's see, we will need a motion to approve that. I'll make that motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. So thank you. Any comments, questions, discussion on this item?
I just wanted to mention that my supervisor at work is a member of the MAMA, which is the Marysville Area Ministerial Association, and that group is the owner, Jessica, or the founder of Hope Center.
Yes, sir.
So I've talked to Sue about this issue and clarified that that could raise a conflict of interest for me. So I'm going to abstain from the discussion and the vote.
And I just want to point out that I know we had a lot of meetings and I think some great conversations and we appreciate, you know, I think there was some compromise give and take on both sides, but I think you guys are doing great work and so that was, I think we came to a good final solution for everybody, so.
I'll extend that same appreciation. Thank you to the board and the administration staff for its Mike and his team for the continued spirit of collaboration has really been wonderful, and we appreciate what you're doing, and we hope to steward and honor your commitment and provision of this property to what we're doing to improve the quality of life for all of our students and families here. So thank you for doing work that's above and beyond the call of duty for most of you in that. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, roll call.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Abstain.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. Now, item 9.2, a motion to approve the resolution amending prior authorizing resolution. We have a motion.
So moved.
Mr. Pleasant? I'll second that. Any discussion?
Basically, this is an update of the resolution that was passed, I believe, back in November or December. Mm-hmm. Based on renovating an older building, some other issues have come to light. The biggest issue in there is the sprinkler system that needed to be installed. So this resolution is an increase of $600,000 above the original resolution.
No questions? Okay, then roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Item 9.3, this is another amended resolution authorizing the agreement with Rosilli Construction.
And again, this is basically the, in December when the original resolution was passed, there were two resolutions, so this is again just updating that resolution, same as the one that was just voted on, just a different resolution.
Okay. Do we have a motion? Okay, motion. Mrs. Powers, second?
Second.
Mr. Pleasant, roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Item 9.4, approve the superintendent contract. You have a motion to approve the contract? Mrs. Powers? I'll second it. Discussion? Okay. We're all happy. Yep. You're doing a great job, Diane. So we're glad to keep you here for
That's
a few
right.
more years.
I'm
so
in my own contract, right?
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. It was. It was nice because we with some new board members, I think it gave us a chance to have some nice open conversation and get to know each other a little bit better and have a better feel for the direction of the district. So it was all good stuff. So any other comments?
No.
Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. Item 10.1, approve the Treasurer CFO action items. Do we have a motion to approve those?
So moved.
Mr. Pleasant?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. Discussion? There's anything? Yeah, you pretty much have talked about everything, given us an update on all of those. So, okay, thank you. Do we have a roll call?
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. All right, now we have a separate item, 11.1, motion to recommend the employment of district staff listed below. And again, we're going to have one abstaining due to a person being a relative. So do we have a motion to recommend the employment of Amy Pleasant? I'll make that motion.
Second
by Mrs. Powers. Any discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Absolutely.
All right, motion carries. And now moving on to 12, we have all of the superintendent items in here. We normally vote on all of these. So 12.4, approve all of the superintendent items. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Pleasant, a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers. Discussion.
So we certainly have a lengthy list
yes.
of employment things, some of which I'll talk more specifically about after approval.
Okay.
That's okay.
Sure.
Other pieces you will see in here are some of the PD opportunities that are coming up for the Advanced Manufacturing Mobile Lab, as well as some of the PD for our teachers in affiliation with the high school STEM piece for the Fab Lab there as well. So those are on the horizon. There's also embedded there, as we had discussed, the increase for administrators. As you know, we increased last year, but had also talked about a 2% increase headed into this year. Certainly have a couple resignations. One in particular, Michelle Shinnenberry will be leaving as guidance counselor, pursue some PhD opportunities. So wanted to point that one out as she's been here several years. I think those are the major things. And I will get on to celebrations after the approval.
Okay. Then let's go ahead and have a roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries.
All right. It's my pleasure to officially congratulate Jonathan Langhouse. Jonathan will be the new assistant superintendent at Marysville Schools. Jonathan's only been with us for a short time, as you know, 1 year at Edgewood. And I mentioned earlier in the meeting about the increased results, student data. Certainly, Jonathan has a keen eye for data. Good instruction, solid leadership, and has done a great job of bringing that staff along to see the improvements for students. So I'm super excited to bring him on. We certainly have different experiences in our educational life, so we kind of complement each other well and kind of see him taking that K-6 role on headstrong and moving forward into the upcoming year. As a result of that, obviously, then I created a vacancy again at Edgewood. So I heard very clearly from the Edgewood staff that they want someone that's going to be around for a while. So they gave me that clear direction. I'm pleased to welcome back to the district David Hensinger. Certainly, we thought taught a lot of David as a coach in our district and left to pursue. I think I pushed him last year when he left. Really, what do you want to do? So he tells me now he knows. He's ready. He's committed to be here a long time. So we're going to hold him to that. But certainly strong instructional leader and PD for adults. And so super excited, part of the community. Wife's part of the community, cute little girls here tonight, so welcome all of you. So.
Thank you.
And as well, last but not least, I am a little disappointed that Amy has made a choice to be here, thrilled to offer her the position at Mill Valley. She was in the emergency room and admitted to the hospital even last evening and is here tonight, so it just speaks to her character and commitment to this district. And it doesn't take long to know Amy and know that she's a go-getter. She's a hard worker. She's an invaluable asset to this district. And I'm so excited to have her jump in as the principal at Mill Valley. I'm glad you woke up. Would any of you, Jonathan, opportunity to say, you're not at a loss for words ever, an opportunity for you to say anything, we'd welcome that.
Just really proud to continue to work here in Marysville School. Just again, just being here just 1 year, Marysville is absolutely a special place because of our students, our parents, our staffs. Marysville is becoming more of a destination. People are going to look to Marysville and think, what's Marysville doing? Whoa, Marysville this, Marysville that. And that should be no surprise. Because again, Marysville is just an amazing place to be. My family, we live here. Brother lives here. It's a place to be. So thank you for the approval. Look forward to working with you for many years to come.
David?
I agree the same. I'm just terribly excited to be able to come back to the district and be part of it again. And I have some big shoes to fill, but I have lots of people and a great staff to work with, and I'm excited for this next adventure. Thank you for the opportunity.
I just like to say thank you also, and I'm really excited. You know, this community means everything to me, so to be able to start my career and hopefully finish it here would be my dream. So thank you. Great.
We're certainly glad to have all of you, and I'm really excited. You guys bring a lot of great things to our district. So, and your leadership team is complete now.
We are complete.
Yay.
That's right.
Okay. That's wonderful. Well, let's see. I think the next item is comments and questions from board members. So, Mr. Luke, do you have any comments or questions?
I wanted to thank the presenters for the Marysville High School presentation and thank you for your hospitality tonight. And I was able to be at the graduation. Really enjoyed it. It was very special. The weather was great, and I appreciated the student speakers in particular. Were very strong, and but everything about it was great. So I just wanted to mention that.
And I too would like to thank you and the graduation too. I liked how you rearranged that this year, and it was. It was a little scary at first, but it went off very well. Hey, you want to help me too? And I'm like, sure I will. But as I'm looking at names, I'm thinking, oh, please don't get out of line. So that was fun. And I'd like to say, I think how blessed we are as a board to have such a great team of people that we are able to be a part of. And it's just getting better every month. Every month, you know, something new is coming about. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful area to be a part of.
Mr. Pleasant.
I'd also like to thank Aaron and Kelly. That kind of special for me to be able to see some of these statistics and see what's happened over the last 20 years. That and again, I'm excited to see how this is going to all shake out. So appreciate that very much. Thanks.
Ms. Mankins.
I think I've said enough. Just things are getting in line, and we're certainly anxious and for all the new things coming our way. We don't want to forget the Fab Lab coming to the middle school. We expect that to be delivered in July, so all those pieces are coming together, and super excited about new opportunities for students.
Yeah. Mr. Johnson? As you type away, yeah, sorry.
I guess I would just note that, you know, a lot of times you get questions, how's the summer going and things like that in the treasurer's office. And then June is one of our busiest months with the year end, so things are going well. You know, we're full staffed, although there's some vacations here and there, but everything's going well. I think we're getting caught up and doing well towards year end closing, and hopefully July will be a good month to maybe make some catch up further ahead and make some changes and things like that.
Great. Well, I also wanted to comment that as part of our board docs, we get building notes. And, you know, I think sometimes people write all this stuff and nobody reads it, but I do try and read those building notes. And I really appreciate everything that's going on. And like I say, all that professional development, it's impressive that people, first of all, that people coordinated it and made it available, and then the number of people that are taking advantage of it. It just really speaks to how excited people are about providing the best opportunities for all of our students, and that's what we're all about. So I appreciate that. And again, the graduation, what an honor to be able to stand up there and hand out all the diplomas, although I understand that you're going to try and get rid of that next year so that it's only teachers and not the board president.
So. Students, it's a great opportunity for kids to be able to have somebody that has resonated with them.
Oh, yeah.
I think sometimes in the hecticness of the end of the year, kids just—that's not something they're super worried about, concerned, and then it passes them by. And so
right.
Try to be more proactive.
Well, and I certainly—I mean, it was quite an honor, and I'm glad I got to do it one time because seeing the looks on their faces was just priceless. I mean, it was one of the best things I've ever done. So I was glad to do that. So, yeah, I guess thanks again for hosting it. And with that, do we have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Mrs. Powers, second? I'll second. Did you second?
Brian.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Luke. We'll let Mr. Luke second. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Meeting adjourned at 8:37.